I'd like to start with prayer. Father who art in heaven, I thank you so much for everything that you've given us. Thank you for providing us with safe passage to get here today, and we thank you for being assembled on this wonderful day. Father, I pray you'd bless me as a speaker of your word today, to hide me behind your message and speak to the people. And I just thank you for everything. In the name of our high priest, Yeshua, amen. Well, I am excited to be here today. I was thrilled when I got the phone call that the Church of God Fellowship decided to recognize and ordain Aaron to the office of elder and the function of pastor of this assembly. Aaron has been a really close friend of mine for about a decade. And I've been attending this church for about a decade, off and on. I have a home church. I attend Church of God International in Southfield, Michigan. Our pastor is Bronson James. He sends his greetings to everyone here. I'm sure he knows a lot of you, and you may know him. He couldn't be here, so you guys got stuck with me. And I'll do my best. I loved attending the Church of God Fellowship. When I first started attending here, I was actually reminiscing today with Bill Britton. When I first started attending the Church of God Fellowship, there were three elders. And one of the elders moved away, and many years later, they anointed another one. But for the most of my time, knowing there were two elders, no pastor, though. No pastor. I'm going to start in the book of Ezekiel 34, and then we'll get back to that story. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? So it's telling us something about how not to shepherd a group of people. You know, sometimes you can watch good examples and learn what to do, how to follow it and get good results. But you could also look at bad examples and see what not to do. In verse 4, it says, "You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick, or bound the injured. You have not brought back the strays. You have not searched for the loss. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." I'll tell you a little bit about my background because I don't know most of you here. I come from seven generations of Sabbath keepers. So that's way before there was a worldwide Church of God, way before there was a radio Church of God. And Michigan is very significant in the Sabbath-keeping movement. Seventh-day Adventist, Church of God, Seventh-day. A lot of those movements came and originated and had discussions and breakups and whatever originations here. But our way of life goes back a long, long way. The office of elder goes back a long, long, long way. So we're talking about shepherds and what the shepherds didn't do back in Ezekiel's day, and what shepherds haven't been doing for a long time. They haven't been. So in my generation, what did I see? I saw big church of Sabbath keepers break up, and then smaller churches of Sabbath keepers break up. And I grew up looking forward to going to a university and a college that wasn't there when I was ready to go to school. Well, how does this happen? Well, we live in a very evil world that is hostile towards our way of life. So we need shepherds. We need elders. We do. I know we like to think that, well, we are all God's people and we can all read the Bible and we're all chosen by God and we can all be high priests. I remember people saying that they were called Dathan and Abiram and things like that. What is an elder? How should we be as elders? What do we need to expect from our elders? Those are fair questions. Because we see without good elders, the people perish. The sheep are destroyed. In 1 Peter 5, Peter is going to exhort the elders in verse 1 on how to be an elder. And Peter is someone that has the credentials to do so. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed, to be shepherds of God's flock." So if you want to understand why I started with the function or the role of a shepherd, is because that's the first thing Peter is going to tell these elders they need to be, shepherds of God's flock, that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. Even the shepherds have to answer to someone. Shepherds on this earth were more like under-shepherds. There's a chief shepherd that we answer to. Many people over the years, many roles have fulfilled the function of a shepherd. Kings, prophets, apostles have all functioned in the role of a shepherd. In 2 Samuel 5, 1-3, we're going to look at David in his role as a shepherd. In 2 Samuel 5, verse 1, it says, "All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler." When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Well, we're not anointing Aaron king today. But we are anointing him as an elder in God's church. And it talks about functions. We're going to talk about what those responsibilities are. In David, we read about that in Psalm 78, verses 70-72. Because it tells us that God chose him, David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens to tending the sheep he brought, to be a shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel as his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillful hands. Integrity of heart and skillful hands. I cannot tell you how many times over the years Aaron has selflessly sacrificed to help me and many, many, many other people. His first instinct, and he's always asking, how can I help? How can I serve? And that's good. When I think about the image of a shepherd, I think about tender care. It is something I've seen Aaron demonstrate repeatedly. Several weeks ago, we were in church here when we were talking about this day, and spontaneously, members of this congregation talked over and over and over again about how Aaron Baker has demonstrated tender care, but also sacrificial service to us. Now, the third point is courageous protection. Now, that is something that I'm going to circle back to what we talked about in Ezekiel and the history of the Sabbath-keeping movement. And to be quite frankly, the history of this body. Courageous protection. Because we do have enemies. It's called this world. This world has a king. The governments of this world has a king. The educational systems of this world has a king. And they are all against God. These are not God's governments. And it's always going to be hostile towards the church. Now, we might be patriots, we might love red, white, and blue. But God's throne isn't draped in red, white, and blue. That government, our country, is part of that Babylonic pagan system. Please understand that. We're Sabbath keepers, right? We're kosher. We know what clean and unclean animals are. Donkeys, elephants, they're both unclean. They are. When I read this, I think, you know, our party is the lamb. And that's what we protect, because everything else out there is against us. This world is against us. If any of these world or their government were sufficient, our king would not need to return. So the elders protect the flock from this evil system. I have a question for you, Aaron. You have proven to me and many others that you have been a good servant. Are you ready to be a good leader? Because there is a difference. There is a difference. And many of you might like Aaron as the good servant. I mean, who wouldn't, right? Something's broken in your house. You can call Aaron on short notice. He'll come fix it. I mean, for real, come on now. It's easy to like somebody like that. It is. It is. It is. Second Timothy 4, 1-4. It says, in the presence of God, in Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. What happens when Aaron has to tell you the truth? He has to tell you something that your ears don't want to hear. I'm good at giving sermons like that. Doesn't win you any popularity contests. What happens when he has to give you some truth that you might not be ready to accept? What happens when he is supposed to rebuke? Because see, I just read functions of an elder. It says in verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So what are you going to do, church, when it's not Aaron the servant, but Aaron the leader, fulfilling what he's supposed to do biblically? Because in the Sabbath-keeping movement, we've had problems, haven't we? Let's just be honest. We have had problems. Because our elders don't protect. They don't show courage. And when they do tell us some hard truths, it turns out, guess what? We're human after all. We run off and we go where our itching ears can hear things we like to hear. Messages that make us feel good instead of changing and growing. Aaron, are you ready to be a leader? So we are ordaining Aaron today, but guess what, congregation? We have responsibilities too. Did you know that? 1 Timothy 5:17 to 19, it says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. For scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out grain, and the worker deserves his wages. You guys didn't know what I was going to preach about when you asked me to preach, did you? The elders who direct the affairs of the church, some translations say rule well, are worthy of a double honor. Is it okay to honor men? Well, the Bible says so. It is, if they're worthy of it, absolutely. That might be another problem why we have a shortage of good elders. How about this? Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. That's in there for a reason. Because we are putting a bigger target on that man's back now. Anybody who has functioned in any type of church leadership can tell you that. There's a reason this is in here. Because fake accusations are going to come. Did you know that, Aaron? More of them are going to come. So, church, you have an obligation. Protect your shepherd, protect your elder. Unless it's done biblically, two or three. I don't know, in this day and age with the internet, you know, I've seen a horse with wings of a dragon and a tail of a snake. Okay? You might need five or six. I mean, but I'm not adding the scripture. I'm just saying, we live in some interesting times. So how can you do that? Well, number one, pray for him. Just like you request prayers, your leaders request prayers. They need them. Pray for him and the leadership of the church. It's easy to criticize and say, hey, they've done this wrong, they've done that wrong, they've done this wrong. But do we pray for them? Do we pray for them? Or do we just criticize? You know, we live in a society today where people can kneel down and protest, but they won't kneel down in prayer. But sometimes the Church of God, Sabbath keepers, same way. We are quick to criticize and slow to pray. Aaron is my friend. I'll tell you, he's not perfect. I know, because I am, right? So I can criticize. Yeah, no, we shouldn't be like that. Anointing him today isn't going to give him some magical powers of protection. I'm sorry, perfection. He's still going to be a man. He's still going to have sinful nature. That doesn't go away. So guess what? Aaron is still going to sin after today. Pray for him. Forgive him. Second thing, make sure Aaron is honored. Because then you are not doing your duty and your responsibility towards an elder. You are not respecting that office. And it is hard work. The last point on congregation responsibilities is make sure Aaron and Lori have time for Aaron and Lori. The church is important. It's the body of Christ. God knows I want to see the Sabbath-keeping community prosper and grow. But his ministry and his service to the church is going to be worth nothing if his home is a mess. And serving a body of believers can be draining. Shepherding can be draining. And the life will tell you, I don't speak much anymore. I don't. I'm not an elder. They call me an elder. I'm not an elder. I'm not a pastor. They call me a pastor. If you go to my church, you might see my name next to pastor or something. I'm not. I'm not. I've been in our ministerial training program for like a decade. It's draining. It's draining. Our pastor got sick a while back, and he was gone, and I took the reins for 3.5 years, and I think I'm still recovering. Like Saturday, the Sabbath would be the hardest work day of my week. I run 3 companies. I have 7 children, 1 autistic, and the Sabbath would be the hardest work day of my week. Dealing with Christians and believers, okay, can be. I've had houses catch on fire. Some of the real estate we own. I've had houses catch on fire where I'm getting up 3 o'clock in the morning and going to look at a house. Yeah. Okay, and that was more pleasant than dealing with some Christians. I'm just keeping it real. And anyone here who served in the church knows what I'm talking about. It shouldn't be this way, but we know what we're dealing with. We're in Satan's world. So we're going to pray for Aaron as his body, because we're going to give him some difficult work. We need to pray for him. Make sure that he's honored. And make sure that he has time for Lori, and Lori has time for him. Like, for real, once a quarter, send them on a couple's weekend or something. That's good for them and it's good for you. So in summary, I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to throw all that out and talk, move right along, to give us an example of who I think, short of Yeshua, is probably Israel's greatest shepherd, Moses. A lot of them in there, David, there are a lot of them, but Moses. In Exodus 18, I want us to look at this story, and I want us to think about it. Because there's some things in here I don't know if we really think about. Exodus chapter 18. In verse 1. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and the father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and the people of Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses has sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. Wait, what? Did we catch that in verse 2? After Moses has sent away his wife, Moses sent away his wife and her two sons? Did you guys know that? There are lots of sermons on that, right? Okay. That right there, verse 2, is deep. Wasn't a family visit. There were lots of reasons for that. There were lots of reasons for that. But I want you to read the context and I'll let you put it together. In verse 5, it says, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses, sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, and where he was camped near a mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and two sons. So they caught up, and he told them about all the good things that God had did for them. And in verse 12, it says, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. So he's getting together with the entire leadership, everybody, and Moses, and God. Because sometimes I hear this retold, and it's not accurate about Jethro and what his relationship with God. So here we'll see that Jethro is sacrificing to God with the elders of Israel in the presence of God. And when he gives this advice, because I've heard inaccurate things about how Jethro wasn't a believer of God, so this advice isn't biblical. This is biblical advice, and I encourage Aaron and everyone to take the wisdom here. It says, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. I promise you, Aaron, if you are willing to serve from morning till evening, people will work you from morning till evening. And that's not going to help your ministry in the long term. You're going to get burnt out, and you won't be able to serve the church effectively. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as a judge? Why all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" And in verse 17, after Moses gave his explanation, Jethro said, "What you are doing is not good." Wait, you mean he was serving God's people? That's what he was doing from sunup till sundown. That sounds good, don't it? I mean, that's all he's doing, serving God. But it wasn't good. It wasn't good. You want to know why he didn't have time for his wife and kids? You want to know why sometimes wives have problems with the ministry? Am I saying ugly stuff on what's supposed to be a happy day? I don't think so. I think if we follow this advice, we'll have a happy day. It says, the work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. So yes, we are ordaining Aaron today to the office of elder. But that doesn't mean that the gospel is just for him to do alone. This isn't the back in the day church when somebody asks you for your reason that you hope in Yeshua, you say, well, go ask my minister. That's not his job. That's not his job. We make his work lighter if we do our work. We make his work lighter if we do our work. Aaron, I love you. I love this congregation. It's brought me so much joy. This congregation has always had a heart to serve, and they've served me and my congregation down in Southfield in so many ways that I can't even start to repay you guys for the kindness that you've shown us. It's a privilege and an honor and a joy for me to be here today. You and I have spoke several times since I've heard the news, and I've asked you some very poignant questions about your spiritual life, about your service. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak to your congregation, your friends, and your guests today on this joyful day. So I thank you for taking up the responsibility of an elder and shepherding God's people. And I thank the people for recognizing Aaron in his role of protecting this congregation. This church, I don't believe this congregation would be here if Aaron Baker did not stand in the gap and protect it. In many congregations and many churches, going back to Ezekiel 34, so that's thousands of years, are not here because elders did not stand in the gap and protect it like they were supposed to. So we should be grateful to our Father that we have an elder that will stand in the gap and offer courageous protection. So I ask you, congregation, to surround him, to pray for him, keep him lifted up so he can serve effectively. Thank you.